Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, his confidence was low. He have to fight back. We got a new staff coming in. Maybe they can refine his game. We got a new offensive line coach. Maybe John Benton can get him back to what he is, get his confidence built up. But do they still keep him or Ram on the right side? It's a lot of stuff that needs to happen here, because the Saints have three spots on the offensive line that needs some attention. I really am shaky on Ramczyk's minor surgery when he needed major surgery, because it's not going to, you know, you would pray that it does, but it's still an issue with the knee. It's going to be an issue, because when you big guys start getting those knee issues, man, that don't go away. So you're going to have to start looking at having somebody there anyway. And based on how much money the Saints salvage after they finish restructuring contracts, do they really want to go to free agency to replace the blindside tackle, or do they want to draft the guy there? So that's questions that the Saints have to answer. But yeah, this is it's a weird dynamic going on, Black Preacher, man. Thank you for that question. Rock says, what's popping, Q? Who that nation? The division up for grabs this year. Indeed, and I know this might make my boy Lowe and the coaching staff over there happy, but in my vantage point from what I'm seeing early on, you know, it could Atlanta's positioning themselves as a serious contender in the NFC South. They have the talent there. They just needed to find a quarterback, and look like they zero in on Chicago's Justin Fields, who's from that area. He's from, you know, from, I think, Kennesaw. You're not too far from Atlanta, so that would be an interesting dynamic for them to bring him there. And they have the running backs. They have a fantastic skill set, and they still have pieces and money in the draft where they can go and kind of help build up their offense. So they're looking like a strong, depending on what they do with the quarterback position. I love the Raheem Morris signing as a head coach. Love that. He brought the Rams offense there to give them some kick, and Raheem Morris is an excellent defensive guy. So it's a good mix of what they got going on. And, of course, Carolina got a really good coach in Kanellis. Look what he did with Baker Mayfield. He was able to take him and terraform him into a quarterback again. I can only imagine what he'll do for Bryce Young, because I still believe Bryce Young has the potential to be something fantastic. And when they put the line around him, they give them a sense of identity, and you just needed a coach to build him up. They got the right guy for that. If you can do that for Baker, if you Kanellis, you can do that for Bryce Young. So, yeah, it's up for grabs. Last year was up for grabs. And really, the Saints now, as veteran as they are, have a new offensive system coming in. We don't know how that's going to look. And it's a sea change, because we haven't seen a different offense in some time. It's been a long time. We're talking, what, 19, 20 years since we had an offensive change. That's usually, you know what I'm saying? Some teams, they go to every 3 or 4 years, they're changing offense to this, that. We didn't have that. We didn't have that for years. We had Coach Payton's system, that wide open Sean Payton West Coast style of offense. Now we have the Gary Kubiak Shanahan style offense, or whatever this Clint Kubiak's going to bring in here to try to run with all of the movement. It's fun to watch, but we'll see if the Saints can kind of manipulate that thing, get it right. All right. So shout out to you. Appreciate you, bro. All right. Clarence says they're not getting trade. Why people keep saying that? Indeed. Well, Marshawn Lattimore is a guy where we'll see what's going on, because it's smoke. There's something going on with the Marshawn Lattimore thing, man. There's something going on. That word on the street, something going on. Now, they could, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. The DeMario Davis thing that Lock and Four is putting out there is bull. I don't believe that. There is something behind the Lattimore thing. So they should keep both of these guys and continue to build around these guys. So it's common sense, Clarence, on that, you know. But a lot of this is just is cap as well. So, you know, we got to cover some of it anyway. All right, shout out to Inevitable and the rest of the fams. Kai says, I know it's not likely, but we'll take it from Saints to trade for both. Yeah, that I don't think that's going to happen, bro. We're not going to get Bosa, man. We kind of locked in with who we got, but it would be cool, though. Trey says, Q, do you think we have a chance to draft the quarterback from Washington, Michael Penix Jr., you're speaking of? There, I mean, the Saints have what? First-round pick won't happen. They do have a – do they have – they got a second round. I want to say, do they have – yeah, they got a second-round pick. 45 pick they got from Denver. No third, no fourth, which is where they anticipate Penix going somewhere late in the second to early in the fourth round. That's what's like at least two of the big wigs that that do the thinking for some of this stuff are talking about, that Penix is in that realm between the late second round into the top of the fourth. You know, so I do like Michael Penix Jr. Now, he has a long injury history in college, but you can't deny his talent. I mean, for a guy that has a history like that, he's a fighter. He came back, got himself right, and, you know, and handled the business. Played Bo Nix, did a lot of positive stuff for Washington, and I like him a lot. But like I said, they have Carr, they have Haener, but doing the new offensive staff says, yeah, Haener's all right, but, you know, I want my own guy. Like I said, the way the Saints operate, I don't know if they'll go after Penix. I mean, he would probably have to be a guy that's got to be sitting there. And I don't know, you know, how much stroke does the new offensive coordinator has. I know he got some power on that side, but if they say, listen, we want this guy, would they give it to him? And if the guy happens to be a quarterback, that'll be wonderful. Michael Penix Jr. or Jordan Travis from Florida State, who they said should be ready for April. I watched some information on him, say he should be ready in April. So that'll be super cool to see him, the Florida State quarterback, get that. He's another guy that people need to keep their eye on, because if he was healthy, that guy would be one of the top five quarterbacks that you're talking about in this draft. So if he'll be ready after getting hurt during college around April, you want to pay attention to him as well. So, yeah, I like both of those guys, to be honest with you. All right, what's up, Revolt? How you doing, sir? Appreciate you. Thank you, Black Preacher Man, for the super chat. It says, why nothing on Hill and Ramchak contract? They have large numbers. I think that's eventually coming down the line, bro. I think that's how eventually when they start touching them or doing their contracts, working with their contracts, I think that ultimately provide a big source of relief for the cap. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Hey, bro, come on now.
All right, I screwed that one up, bro, but you got that. I hit the button in the wall. All right, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. I got kind of messed up on that, man. I ain't hit the button in a minute. appreciate it, man. All right, Gundam, what's happening? Says, who got traded? Nobody got traded, my friend. Did we trade? No. Jaden, no, you're not, bro. Listen, no, you're not going to get Jaden Daniels, bro. I don't think, you know, and the Patriots traded Mac Jones this morning, so you know you're not going to get Jaden Daniels. They making it a point. Coach Mayo up there is going for Jaden Daniels. Don't believe the hype on this May character from North Carolina. You know, Williams is going to Chi-Town. New England wants Jaden Daniels. They traded Mac Jones to the Jaguars today. He's out of there. They're looking at Jaden Daniels. So even if the Saints had the ability to move, I don't see even move up there. I don't think they'd get that high. They would have to sacrifice a lot to get up that high. So I would have to say no to Jaden Daniels. The good thing is, when we finally, if they draft them, we will only get to see him like one time every 3 to 4 years. So that's a positive as opposed to Lowe telling me, yeah, man, we want Jaden Daniels. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you're not. You know. Oh, yeah, never say they want. And I heard a report that they favor and they leaning more to Fields than Cousins, but either one of those guys would be good for him, though, to be honest with you. But the quarterback from Justin Fields from Chicago probably would fit because he's from the area. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. But either one of those guys is a major upgrade over what they had last year and what they've been dealing with over the last couple of years. Yes. All right, Black Major says, I really hope Carr catches on to the new system quickly. You and I both. Gundam says nobody's addressing it, but Dennis Allen, better backfield, linebacker. We need speedy, nasty, aggressive linebackers. Indeed, I am in agreement with you. Inevitable says, me too, an old man coming off an Achilles injury that we've played plenty of times. All right, thank you. Molly says, we do need fast linebackers because Dennis Allen cannot stop the mobile QBs. Thank you. Derek, brother, Derek, how you doing? Says, trade Lattimore because he's tired of losing and questioning DA's leadership, so get rid of him, he says. And then HY, the that our D is not that good to get rid of great players. Indeed, bro. I don't think any one of the guys should be traded, but there is information or feelings on a word on the street about Lattimore losing faith in Dennis Allen in the direction of the Saints. We knew that during the season when there was obvious a split. They were trying to deny it. Things like the under the bus, throwing this team under the bus at the end of the year, that didn't sit well with players on the team, and it should. That's questionable and off-code behavior that never was corrected. But if the player would have did it, like if they questioned and went off on, like a lot of people throw a lot of disparaging comments on Michael Thomas. When Michael Thomas has a history of doing this, he always tweets. He don't go to the guy and punch him in his face. He just gets on there and he starts tweeting up a storm. You know, he did it several times throughout his career. He's very consistent with that. So that doesn't surprise me that a Michael Thomas would be on social media expressing himself. It's harmless. But if they would disparage or send out disparaging comments about Michael Thomas, but when Dennis Allen throws his team under the bus, they make excuses for Dennis Allen doing it. Those who fall to one side more than the other. But if the player does it, oh, well, the world be damned if the player do it. But that's what I'm saying. It's a double standard. But we can't play the double standard game. We're not doing that. We're going to put everybody on the same damn line, and we're going to make them follow by the same rules. That's the way you win. There cannot be off-code behavior from players or coaches or owners. They all must be held to the same standard. So, I mean, this is truth, man. This is how this goes. All right, Scout with the clout. What's happening, fam? Says, literally, late looks like a possible fit on day three. I'm not sure. We pick a QB plus Jake Haener look good in the Senior Bowl in preseason. Indeed, it's a lot on Jake Haener. Like, when you draft the quarterback, a lot of times teams don't want to keep drafting quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying, unless they lost faith in the quarterback or perhaps somebody coming in. If there's some changing going on in the offensive system and the person who was responsible for the thought process that brought in Haener is gone, and that's the case, the new guy coming in might not see Haener the same. They might want to bring their own people in because, remember, it has to be your choice. Like, if you a guy, I'm going to bring in my own guy that I'm comfortable with. So if it fails, it let it fail at my own hand and not because I was trying to fix somebody else's error or do something with somebody else's people. You get what I'm saying? That's the thing about changing offensive people. That's what happened. This kind of stuff happens, and it happens all the time. So anyway, with that being said, let's keep it moving, man, to this. And that's some of the things that we talked about as well. So inevitable saying Atlanta going Raheem Morris over Belichick is such a Falcon thing to do. I wouldn't kind of poo-poo that thing, man. I know Belichick is who he is, but that wasn't a bad pickup for them. Marley Maul says, Q, we need 4 more hours. I don't think I could get it full of that today, bro. Rock says, if Atlanta gets Cousins, we're in trouble. Oh. Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing, man. It's just one of the situations where they didn't need a lot, man. They didn't need a lot. All right, Scott also says, call me crazy, but I might trade Kamara and Hurst. Love AK, but hard to pay a top dollar to an older running back that we haven't used correctly in 3 years. The contract on that, and you are saying some stuff here because a lot of people say, trade Alvin Kamara. What is he talking about? But then you got to look at the contract. You got to look at the contract and see exactly what's going on. Is Alvin Kamara, who's 29 currently. I got it on the screen because that's what we're going to do. And then you look at the contract coming into 2024, 25, 26, when then 26 through 28 are voided years on his deals. But you look at the playable years, which is 2 years remaining this year and next year, is currently at 10.2 according to Sportrack with the prorated of $7 million. Regular at $1 million even. And then, of course, next year in 2025, it leaps to $22.4 million. At that point, Elvin will be 30 years of age with a $22.4 million base salary. And, of course, the Saints are not going to keep it at that rate. They're going to ultimately change it. But like I said, man, it's things that the Saints play really weird games with the cap to the point where we're thinking like, you know, in a couple of years from now, Elvin will be in his 30s. So that'll be interesting to see how they indeed deal with that. We'll see. Duke says either of those QBs will be great addition to the Saints. Okay, yeah, thank you, bro. Shout out to you. All right, but yeah, this is crazy. All right, Gunnum says Saints are dinosaurs when it comes to the vision of the prototypical QBs of the future. Why, big Q, are they? We always behind in preparations for the future because we have a dinosaur that's running things. We have a a guy, listen, and I don't want to, you know, send out disparaging comments about Mickey Loomis, but listen, you know, I'm just sick and tired of his non-leadership. And he calls these things that they're doing is some type of vision for it, and it's not. Waiting on Drew Brees, who was 39, almost 40 at the time, to sign a contract extension when it's totally stupid. That was dumb. That was awful. That was terrible. That was dumb for him to sit there and wait for a 39-year-old man who now.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We knew Drew Brees at 39 did not have it. If he would have cut bait off of him at the time, Tom Brady was another older quarterback, but he had a lot more going for himself than Drew did. So ultimately, when he did what he did, that was the plan. Well, we gave Drew Brees such, no. You think Drew Brees, you done paid him, made him a lot of money, make him a goddamn statue a couple of years down the line and just move the hell on. That's not what we did. We waited for Drew Brees to decide on what he was going to do. And then it was just stupid, man. That's not a plan. And I often keep saying this about Mickey Loomis, is that Mickey Loomis is not a general manager. I keep telling you people that. I keep telling the people out there, not to my Who Dat Nation and the great Saint Tank family, but I keep saying the damn thing over and over again about this guy, is that Mickey Loomis is not a general manager. He's a VP. He's not a general manager. He doesn't do the only reason why, like, how you explain the success that he had, because Sean Payton was telling him what to do. Sean Payton was directing all of that stuff, just like he was directing the goddamn offense. That's why Pete Carmichael get up there and can't do nothing. Stand there and his offense is ballless. It's detached. It's garbage. He can't hold anybody to any standard. He doesn't have any discipline. He doesn't have any attention to detail. He doesn't hold anybody accountable. Sean Payton's attitude is similar to a John Gruden. Those guys they have an alpha mentality. You're not going to tell them anything. If they're the head coach, this is my team, I'm going to run it how I want to run it. You know, and they know what to do in many regards. They're not perfect, but in the end, they're going to make sure you do what you're supposed to do, or you're not going to have that goddamn job. I tell you that much. And that's what it came down to. That's not Pete Carmichael. Carmichael was milquetoast. He was a B-rated personality, and it just didn't work. Mickey Loomis was the one that I give Mickey credit for going to get the contracts and getting the players that Sean Payton needed to succeed. But when you pull Coach Payton out of this whole stuff, you've seen this past season and the year before that, how it looked. And it didn't look good. It didn't look good because that type of energy is what you need to drive the offense. You got to get, like even Cam said it years ago, that they walked around on pins and needles when Coach Payton was there, because Coach Payton ran a tight ship. He really did. And you was going to do what you were supposed to do, or you was going to be catching some hell for that. You know, so it is what it is. But in terms of Mickey Loomis, man, Mickey Loomis is he's more VP than general manager. And there's nobody checking for him to make sure he's doing his job correctly. Nobody's doing. The dude above him, Lucia, he's not keeping an eye on Mickey Loomis. He's not doing any evaluations on Mickey Loomis. And Gail is not doing any goddamn evaluations on Lucia. I've said that Gail Benson should have an independent advisor who knows football, that is not a part of the Saints culture, that is giving her the real game about what's going on with the team. She don't need to be hooked, line, and sinkered into these people, because her husband, God rest his soul, said these are good guys. You're going to have to develop your own sense of identity. You're going to have an advisor that you trust that knows football and people to be there to do that sort of thing. And that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, it's the Saints' plans for the future are dinosaur in nature, because nobody, they don't even operate at the highest levels like an NFL team. You know how hard it is to win in the NFL and to keep a job. Dennis Allen couldn't do this with no other team. He'd have been fired after his second year. I'm just keeping her. He would have been out of here. There was nobody checking for Dennis Allen as a head coach anyway. He got into the little good old boy circle, and Sean Payton said, hey, that's your coach. And then they put on a mock ceremony to try to find the head coaches, sit down there and talk to that man for 8 hours, Eric Bieniemy, let them leave. Time 8-hour meeting to offer him he thought he was interviewing for a head coaching job. They're talking about, you got the offensive coordinator position open. Nah, man, I thought this was about head coach. Oh, 8 hours. And then they go back to Dennis Allen, who we knew that was going to do the whole time. You know, so like I said, the team operate with a vision. It's ignorant. You know, it's basically like a Kool-Aid cult. You know, it's like a Kool-Aid cult the Saints got running on at the top of the team. There is no diverse opinions about what's going on there. Like, if it should never be a narrative where a guy like Marshawn Lattimore should be going anywhere. And why is that happening? That's not because of them. That's because of the leadership of the team. They picked a guy that's not a leader. And then he's trying to pretend like the guy is a leader. And see, when we see it, it's so clear, it pisses us off because you get arrogant, start speaking down to the people like they don't know what they're going to see. No, they know that guy's not a leader. No leader worth his salt would backstab his team and tell the entire world that they ran a play that they wasn't supposed to run. That's against his own stupid back-ass code that we supposed to handle all of this in-house. Why did he run up to the podium and tell them that and apologize to the Falcons? He should have kept all that in-house and said, well, that was on me. I did it, man. It's all good. It was for Jamal Williams, and let that be an in-house secret. That would have owned him some brownie points. Not run your ass up to the podium and confess on your team and apologize to the Falcons. You're not going to win people that way. And then after that, you know what your dumb general manager do? He makes excuses for him and says, well, we're overblowing it. No, that's off code, bro. That's why you're losing. It takes all of them, the majority of the team, to win, man, in the NFL. It's tough to win in the league, man. But he would never have survived anywhere else except in a culture of this type of culture that the Saints are festering here. This backstabby, garbage, up and down bull culture that they got going on with this guy running around here, comparing him to Bill Belichick and Bill Walsh and all these people. It's totally ridiculous, man. It's a joke. He's not a real general manager. And for Dennis Lucia, who should be listening to this, you need to go in there. You need to evaluate that dude, make him do his job, or give it to somebody else. Better yet, give it to somebody else. 20 years of him doing that is enough. Give it to a young general manager like Kai, who has the feel for today's NFL. We don't need no more dinosaurs, bro. He done paid his part. He done did what he was supposed to do. Thank you, but no thank you. Move the job on to a younger person. Don't let him sit up there and say, well, I think I can do this for another 10 years. Oh, I'll go when I'm ready. No. That shouldn't even be something he's allowed to say. He should be, I ain't going whenever I want to go. No, you going to go right now because you ain't doing nothing. So, I mean, in the end, it's a joke, man. And I continuously point this out to people. I'm like, this dude get fleeced by other people because he's not a general manager. He's not. General managers do things. They do in-season evaluations. They don't not do evaluations during the season because they're too emotional. Who says that? What is the guy? What is he, 8 years old and in kindergarten? You don't have control of your emotions to do your job? This is stuff that he said. I'm like, what? That's why they're losing in many regards, because he don't do nothing to the season over with, and that's not what a general manager does. He does work during the season, does evaluations every day, if not possible, every week, constantly watching the strengths of his team, seeing if we got disgruntled players that he could talk to make happy, any beefs in the buildings to take care of, you schmooze all that out. That's what general managers, they manage something. And they don't manage it in the off season. They manage it in the end season as well. So that's why I said this guy's out of touch, and he needs to just keep the VP job and give the general manager job to somebody else. You don't get your ass out the way. That's what I'm saying. All right. So anyway, I've been saying that for a while, man. Y'all know I have. I've been yelling at and saying that this dude ain't no real general manager, and it's become abundantly clear now. It's abundantly, nobody would take up for Dennis Allen. I know you picked him, but at the same time, dude, you got to be on him and saying, hey, listen, bro, you can't do that, man. You can't throw your team under the bus. You can't do that, man. Now I got to go over here. You're going to have to go and apologize to him for doing him that. You're going to have to go apologize. That idiot doesn't apologize any other time except for when the Falcons apologize to all of the dumb losing that he did. All the terrible losing games, never apologized, not one time, but he did apologize one time when it was for the Falcons and what the Saints did to him. That's amazing to me. Isn't that ironic? Never all the horrible losses, but he never apologized, not one time for those. But when it came down for him to make an apology, he issued it to the Falcons against his own team. That's how you, this dude is off code. It's amazing. All right. Anyway, let's keep it pushing, man. Big Sean, what's happening, brother? Says Kubiak will be here 1 year. And he'll do so well, he'll get the head coaching job, or will do so bad that everyone gets fired. I don't know if he gets the head coaching job, because if he wins, then it's Allen to get an extension. So I don't see how he's going to get that job unless Dennis Allen steps down, bro. And they say, you know what? We're going to leapfrog him. Mickey Loomis doesn't even think like that. If Kubiak wins, that means they'll give an extension to Dennis Allen. That'll validate him and say, see, I told you guys. I told your ass. Dennis Allen is the guy. I told you. You didn't listen. I told you. No, you guys are not qualified to talk about football. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, I'm right. That's what will happen. So he'll run to the podium and talk about how he made the right choice. So, I mean, if he does well, you won't get rid of Dennis Allen, man. That'll be validation for a guy like Mickey Loomis. All right, family, does anyone know the dates for the 2024 draft? I think it's in late April, bro. Hold on, let me put it up on the screen right here. The draft dates, if nobody already answered it. I think it's late. Always seems like it kind of moves around. You know what I'm saying, family? You know what I'm saying? Almost it seemed like the draft dates kind of move around on you. Let's see. I want to say it's for late April. That's usually when it happens. Yeah, April the 25th. It starts April the 25th through April the 27th, bro. So I hope that helped you out right there. All right. So anyway. All right. Let's keep it going. Scout says Kubiak should help our run game. Kendre Miller about to take off. That's good, man. I want, you know, Jamal Williams needs to take off too, bro. We need to get the running attack going. Rose says if Kendre stays healthy and take off your last year. Yeah, you got a good running back run, period. You just need a guy with some accountability and some imagination and some seriousness to get the Saints going. They got all the weapons you need. I mean, you can accentuate it. We talk about guys like Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Johnson, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Kendre Miller, Jamal Williams. Who else we got? Foster Monroe. The Saints are littered and loaded with different type of personalities, offensively speaking, that any offensive coordinator would be so happy to have. He'll be able to add other people to the list as well, build up the offensive line and create a philosophy to run them. And you know, they're not a bare cupboard. They actually have a lot of serious and good players that can help take the Saints far, man. We just need the right mind to do it. Salute to the fam. Appreciate you, Travis. Shout out to you, brother. Good to see you in the chat. Brother Rose says, Q, what do you think about Saints going after Justin Simmons? I like Simmons. That'll be cool, I think, but he gonna want to get paid though. Justin Simmons don't work cheap, bro. You know, I like Justin Simmons. I think it's gonna cost you some money to go and get him, but you getting rid of Marcus May is because of Howden, our rookie safety. I mean, he ain't a rookie anymore, but, you know, our young safety, Jordan Howden, that's what made Marcus May expendable. Saints looked at him and said, man, this guy always hurt. And Jordan Howden stepped up. He played, and I think they won't see more of him. Now, do we go after Simmons there? I mean, that would definitely help the defense. You just gave Tyrann Mathieu his money. You got Jordan Howden on a cheap rookie deal. And I don't see them going for a top-notch, like a big-money safety. You know, coming up, seeing more after like keeping Howden there next to Tyrann Mathieu and probably drafting somebody like, you know, in the draft to add to what they got going on, and then bring like cheap veterans like they had with Lonnie Johnson Jr. and Jonathan Abrams. That's what kind of stuff I see him doing. I mean, it'll be cool, but I don't know if that'll be the philosophy they go with. Guys, say, who's the best pass rusher the Saints should target in the draft? Well, if they do, bro, it's probably going to be somebody late with some duality, because the Saints have spent a lot of resources on getting pass rushers and signed two defensive linemen last year. I've said this before. The Saints just didn't draft like a fourth and fifth round defensive end. They got guys that have to play. They got guys like Peyton Turner, who's a first round pick. You got guys like Isaiah Foskey, who's a second round pick. So they have high picks that have to play this year and have to show what they can do. They just gave Carl Granderson a fat check. They kind of reworked Cam's deal where he's guaranteed. So Cam's not going anywhere for the next couple of years. You got Carl on his other side, and then you have one first-round draft pick defensive end and a second-round draft pick defensive end that got to play. So, you know, and people was asking me about the Florida State guy or Turner. You know, I was like, I like these guys, but if I don't see the Saints taking these guys, because where would they put them at? Where would they play? Where would they play them at? With all of the stuff I just said there. And the Saints are looking at it like that. They're not looking at it like you and me saying, get as many pass rushers as you can. You know, you got injuries. Man, they're not looking at it like that. They put a lot of money toward the interior line. And of course, don't forget they drafted a Brian Bercy as an interior defensive lineman. So whatever lineman or defensive lineman that they're going to end up getting, it more than likely is going to be guys in a reserve capacity, somebody working on the interior. I really do think they still need to get a nose tackle to help out too. Like a nose tackle and not some tweener guy. You know what I'm saying?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, didn't see that coming, and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.